الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، last week some brothers and sisters probably had issues with Salatul Jama'ah that we made Maghrib and Isha when we combined just before we finished the class. The Sunnah actually of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, as you know, is to keep Salah on time. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Salah should be kitaba mawquta, means on appointed time. But in some occasions, in some circumstances, the jam', which means to combine between the salawat, it is acceptable, and sometimes it even becomes like a wajib. One of those occasions that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in many ahadith, and he did himself ﷺ, because of traveling, that's one reason. Also because of the weather condition. And when you say weather conditions, we're talking about being extreme cold, rain, snow, something like that. Especially for those who are going out to pray in the masjid. But what if you pray inside, you know, a room like this? You're not going to go anywhere between Maghrib and Isha. So eventually you're going to have Maghrib on time and Isha on time. So are you allowed to combine or not? The same incident happened with Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and in hadith in Sahih Muslim. This hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Hadith Abdullah ibn Shaqiq that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one time he was after Salat al-Asr, he started giving a lecture. Muhadar. He starts talking to the people after Salat al-Asr, and that was in Iraq. So that lecture, that talk extended so long until Maghrib time. But Ibn Abbas did not stop for Salat al-Maghrib. He kept going on until the stars start coming out. And when you say stars coming out, means what? It's Isha already. And just before Salat al-Isha, before Isha time, some people, you know, those mashallah, considering themselves very knowledgeable, they start complaining to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, saying, As-salah. Just like that. As-salah, As-salah. Means salah, what's wrong with you? Salah. He kept quiet, didn't answer them. First time, second time, at the end, he got upset and he said, أَتُعَلِّمُنِي بِالصَّلَاةِ لَا أُمَّ لَكَ. Means, are you going to teach me about salah? May your mother lose you? He said, we used to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to combine between Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Min ghayri safarin, wala matarin, wala khawf. For no reason of traveling, rain, or even intimidation. Because one of those also reasons to combine, if somebody is afraid of going out to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah, they can combine Salah at one time and then not show up for the following Salah. Then he was asked, why did the Prophet ﷺ do that for them? There was no reason. قال أراد ألا يحرج أمته. He did not want to cause any hardship for his ummah. Which means, in some circumstances, you will be obligated, or probably you will take this as a concession, rukhsa, to do so. And we just use this as a rukhsa, inshaAllah ta'ala, for all of you. I know in some schools of thought, al-jam' bayna salah, combining between salawat, is almost impossible except in hajj. But this is, of course, not the rule of all madahib. Most of schools of thought would allow that, with of course different opinions. Wallahu a'lam. Now, Islam and marriage. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And as you can read it over here, and I marry women, therefore, one who shows, of course, disinterest in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not from amongst his ummah or his followers. Islam and marriage. Does Islam encourage celibacy for men and women? I know in most cases, if you ask women, especially after they get married for some time, if you ask most women and you give them the choice, if they could go back in time, would they get married or just, you know, live like that, celibate? They would say, I don't even rather, you know, or even bother thinking about marriage. Because they usually in marriage, they take the heat. And most of the hardships of marriage goes on women, not on men. But if you ask men, most of them, they would also would love to say, you know, I would like to get married again. However, in some cases, people would prefer celibacy. Does Islam encourage celibacy? No. And the proof for that, the hadith that we just quoted for you. What is it with the Nisa? The Prophet ﷺ made this as a rule that is from his sunnah is to get married. Also, his Sahaba like Anas radiallahu ta'ala and Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, they encouraged us to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by getting married, saying that kana khayrun nas, means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aktharukum nisa'an. He had the largest number among, of course, married people. The Prophet ﷺ, when he died, he had nine wives. Although, of course, the Quran allows anyone else up to four, but the Prophet ﷺ, as we said, and we're going to talk about it, inshallah, ta'ala, had some exemptions because of legal matters that we will discuss, inshallah, ta'ala, later. So Islam does not recommend celibacy. Plus, even that some of the ulama and the Sahaba used to say that that they would prefer, of course, they would feel shy if they die single, that they would meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they are not following his example, meaning dying single. So it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the ulama of this ummah, they encourage people to get married, men and women, because that's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people might say, okay, what about the ulama who did not get married? We have so many scholars that we know. If you read some, even some ulama, they collected the names of the scholars who did not marry in their lifetime. And they brought this as an example for, you know, dedication to knowledge and seeking ilm and so on. Can we follow that example? I would say the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more worthy to be followed. Even if they had their own excuses, they have their own reasons for that and so on, but the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married, and we should follow his example. What is marriage anyway? When we say marriage, the definition of marriage, there are different definitions for marriage, by the way. Different definitions for marriage. I'm talking about legal definition right now. Some of those definitions, what you have right now over here, which gives you marriage, and you see, it says marriage is a contract. It's a contract. So it's not just a relationship, it's a contract. And usually in relationships, simply, you know, if you have a relationship with someone and you don't like it, what do? You just walk out. It's an unlikely, fine. You just, you know, stay in your own and I live my own life and so on. But when it comes to marriage, it's not just a relationship, it's a contract. And I discussed that probably last week. We said that whenever you go to books of fiqh to look for marriage, you won't find that in ibadah or under ibadah. You'll find that under contract. Because contracts has conditions, has terms, things that need to be fulfilled from both parties. And if one does not fulfill his conditions, the other party will not be responsible for him and so forth. So basically it's a contract that we both parties need to be aware of and fulfill perfectly. And that's why, you know, most people, unfortunately, they get into marital discords and problems because they do not understand the concept of marriage as a contract, where you need to go and follow certain rules, and I need to follow certain rules, of course, to make this marriage possible. So this is one of the definitions of marriage. Another definition for marriage, probably, is a contract that results in the two parties, and here we're talking about man and woman, physically enjoying each other in the manner allowed by Sharia. Again, it says it's a contract. How about the word marriage that we use in books of fiqh? In books of fiqh, there's another term called nikah. The word nikah is used in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in the Arabic language, Arabic dictionary. If we use the word nikah, what do we mean by that? Do we mean the actual contract or the actual physical enjoyment? In some cultures, they use the word nikah for the contract. So they say, I want to do my nikah, and they mean by that the contract, and that's also mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. أَنْكِحُ, it means, you know, help them to get married. So this is talking about the contract. Now, in another use of the word nikah in Islam or in Sharia, it's the physical enjoyment itself, which is basically intercourse. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about a woman who gets divorced three times from her husband. Allah says, if she wants to return back to her husband, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا, until she تَنْكِحَ. And تَنْكِحَ or nikah over here was explained in the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ by the actual physical enjoyment, and that's intercourse. When the woman, she came back, she wants to return back to her husband, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, حَتَّى تَدُوقَ عُسَيْلَتَكَ وَتَدُوقِينَ عُسَيْلَتَكَ. It means until you enjoy, of course, physically, and have intercourse. So in this case, this ayah was interpreted by the Prophet ﷺ by intercourse. So the word nikah itself in Sharia, when you read it in the Quran or the Sunnah, don't get confused. Sometimes it means intercourse, and sometimes it means the contract. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommend this for us? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also highly recommended marriage for us. If you study Islamic law, you would learn that all the rules of Sharia came to preserve five necessities. We call them ad-darurat al-khams in Islamic law. Ad-darurat al-khams, faith, life, intellect, progeny, and wealth. Anything, any rule in Sharia is to preserve one of those five, not even more than one. So the rule of apostasy, for example, came to preserve deen, faith. The rule of, let's say, capital punishment, this is to preserve blood and life. Same thing, prohibition of alcohol, to preserve intellect. Prohibition of zina and adultery and other, and of course, pre-mixings and so forth, to preserve progeny. And of course, the rules of theft and so on, also to protect wealth. A prohibition of riba, also the same thing. So, in this case, if you talk about marriage, under which one of them actually would say that it falls? Under protecting faith, life, intellect, progeny, wealth. What do you think? All. Actually, if you look at it, under all, it protects everything. Life for procreation. I mean, imagine people that said, you know what, that's it, we're not going to get married. We don't live like that. How mankind will procreate? Same thing with faith. And there's a statement that we mentioned earlier, last week, that, you know, they say that marriage is half of your faith, basically. And if someone gets married, he just earned half of his faith. And usually people, when they get married and they settle down and they have children, establish families and so on, they get relaxed and start thinking about religion and faith and so on. So marriage is not an easy thing. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this institute of family and marriage with, I don't want to say restrict rules, but very important and essential rules to protect, of course, all those five necessities in marriage. The purpose of marriage. Why people get married? You know, some people, when they go and get married, they have no idea what marriage is all about. All what they think about is just love. That's all. When they go to get married, that's what they're expecting. Romance. Someone, you know, that just can enjoy talking to and then share love and emotions and so on. It's not just that. Believe me, I was talking to Mustafa just in the morning about it. It's not just about love. If you think that you're getting married, that you're going to have, mashallah, this wonderful romance and love experience, I mean, you got to be prepared for more than that. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to go to the market, and he used to market, of course, in Medina, and he used to expel people out from the market if they didn't have enough knowledge in the laws of trading, selling and buying. Because, you know, they might do something wrong. They might use haram means and so forth. So he used to expel them from the market until they go and learn the rules of buying and selling and then come back to the market. Same thing should be done for those people who are getting married. I mean, getting married is not just, you know, experience that you're going to just take off the internet or from a book that you read and so on. You have to understand and learn the rules of marriage in Sharia before you get involved in that situation. And alhamdulillah, I hope that this will help you, you know, get educated about this situation, even though I'm not claiming that you're going to get everything, but at least give you an idea, inshallah ta'ala. So, there are some reasons, and the purposes of marriage can be counted in points. Number one, seeking the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pleasure. Imagine, when you get married, you'd be seeking the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pleasure. How would that be? Because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَنْكِحُ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ, which means, marry, for I will outnumber the other nations by you on Qiyamah, on Judgment Day. The Prophet ﷺ will be so proud of you that you are the largest ummah, the largest population of the believers, this ummah. So we'll be seeking the pleasure of the Prophet ﷺ by doing so. Number two, procreation. Children. Some people are crazy about children. Sometimes men, they love to have children more than women. And sometimes women, they would love to have children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. Al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayat al-dunya. means the actually the decoration, the zina, the beauty of this life lies in two things: wealth and children. Subhanallah, half of the enjoyment of this life is in having children. This is for the single people. Half of enjoyment in this life, you know, you'll be running everywhere just to collect money and mashallah build career and get certificates and all the stuff and so on. Fine, that's half of the enjoyment. But you're losing half of it also, which is to have children around. Kids that when you go back home, you completely forget about all the seriousness of this life. You just get there at home and start acting like a kid with them. Why? Because you would love to, you know, just basically to relax. And that's one of the reasons we get married. Just to relax and get the thing, the seriousness of this life, you know, off your head. The Prophet ﷺ, he recommended that when you go home and play with your kids, يتصابى. The Prophet ﷺ كان يتصابى للحسن والحسين. He used to act like a child for al-Hasan and al-Husayn. Like for example, like a pony or a horse. They jump on his back and he starts, ﷺ, you know, walking around and, you know, in the house. And even Abu Bakr Siddiq, one time he came in and he saw that and he smiled. And so the Prophet ﷺ told him that إِنَّ وَلَدِي قَدْ ارْتَحَلَنِي, means my son just, you know, is riding on my back like a horse. So the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he made a comment that نِعْمَ الْرَاكِبُ وَالْمَرْكُوبُ, it means it's mashallah. I mean, the good, or actually the kind one or the good one, is the one who's riding, and of course الرَّاحِلَ, which means on which he's riding, which is the Prophet ﷺ's back in this case. So procreation and children, another reason for that. Number three, secret intercession of the righteous child. Seek an intercession of the righteous child. If someone was blessed with children and they die, intercession, to intercede for you on Judgment Day. You know, when you die and on Judgment Day, you would love to have a help and an intercession of anybody, anyone. The Prophet ﷺ even said that sometimes you would go to your mom, to your father, looking for one hasana, one merit. And they would say, nafsi, nafsi, get out of here, I don't have anything for you. I'm done with you right now. But then all of a sudden you have those beautiful children coming around you, taking you to Al-Jannah. So that's an intercession for you in Judgment Day. If someone loses a child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless them with some reward like this. Especially if they were girls. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anybody who has three girls and he raised them in righteousness and in good faith until they grow up and they get married, of course, and so on, they will be like a shield for him from Jahannam. Protection from Jahannam. Number four, protection from evil. Marriage protects you from evil, the evil thoughts and so on. The Prophet ﷺ recommended that if someone get attracted to, you know, by the eye, intentionally or unintentionally, he should go and fulfill his desire with his spouse. That's of course going to protect them from evil. Number five, freeing time from the responsibilities of life. Freeing time from the responsibilities of life. For the single one, you live on your own, of course. Who's taking care of your house? I mean, sometimes you hate to go there. Why? Because it smells bad, everything, and laundry is everywhere. And you go to the kitchen, and subhanAllah, there's no dishes, everything's in the sink already, and so on. So you get exhausted, and you want to try to do that in the weekend. You wait until the weekend, guys, they say, let's go out and play soccer or whatever. So you go out with them. And then you wait until the next weekend. So you keep waiting and waiting until you go back home and it's miserable life. Same thing with the sisters. You know, they have to go to, if they choose to work, then they have to take care of their own, you know, life, especially if they live far away from their families and so on. I mean, it's also going to be a hardship. But if you are two together, living together, that would give you time free from responsibility. For example, when you go home, you take care of the grocery for your family. Your wife, she doesn't have to go out and buy all the stuff. You take care of this, you bring it back with you. And she's responsible for, you know, the internal affairs of your house. So alhamdulillah, you're taking care of affairs outside and she's not worrying about it. Same thing, she's taking care of things inside the house and you don't have to worry about these things. It frees time. It doesn't mean, of course, that you don't exchange roles sometimes. I mean, you need to give a hand and help. But in general, that frees time, of course, for both parties. Number six, mujahadatun nafs. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala brought this as one of the purposes of getting married. Mujahadatun nafs, which means to struggle. Al-jihad, jihadun nafs, that inner struggle. which means to bear the hardships of family and observing their rights, always. So that when you get married, not everything is going to go the way you want it to be. If you expect that marriage is going to be like a heavenly bliss, everything is going to fall inshaAllah ta'ala in place and perfectly, you're dreaming. So you have to be realistic about this relationship, and part of it is mujaharatun nafs. Expect the unexpected in your marriages. You know, sometimes you'll be mashaAllah in the best mood, both of you. All of a sudden, subhanAllah, things are turning so ugly. For no legitimate reason. It's just that something happened, something wrong is happening. So what are you going to do about it? That's it. You know what? I'm done with you. Assalamu alaikum. You cannot just walk out from marriage like this. So you have to practice jihad al-nafs. Educate yourself and so on. Plus, children. I mean, children can be annoying sometimes. Ask your father, ask your parents. They will tell you about you. So it can really be annoying. So you have to also practice mujaharat al-nafs. How to treat them, how to be patient. And subhanAllah, wallahi, it is probably the greatest jihad that you can do at home, is that you be so quiet and so patient with your kids. Because they're very, very annoying. And you could see that, subhanAllah. Especially if you have hyper kids like mine. Sometimes the child would say, you know what? The child, for example, an instance, happens at home. The kid will say, I want, let's say, a cup of tea. Usually we don't give them tea, but subhanAllah, they insist because they see you drinking tea, they need tea. I want tea, I want tea, I want, and then, fine, here's a cup of tea. Then he said, when they try it, they say, I want milk in there. So you go and you add milk. They try it again. Take the milk off. So they bother you so much, and you have to be prepared for them. It happened, really. Number seven, one of the purposes of getting marriage, pleasure. Pleasure. Don't feel shy. Most people, if not all people, when they get married, that's the first thing they have in mind. I know, I'm sure that most of you, when I was counting all those, actually one, the pleasure, to see pleasure with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this, and I said, what's he talking about? I mean, is that what people are getting married for? No, don't worry about it. Pleasure is also one of the purposes of getting married. Why I'm saying that? Because Islam, alhamdulillah, is the deen of the fitrah. It's the deen of the natural in it. Islam is not going to teach you know to learn. It's not teaching you to feel that marriage is a sinful relationship. Like in some ideologies and some religions, getting married is just inevitable, evil. That you have to do it because you have to do it. That's all. So when they practice, of course, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made lawful for them, they have that in the back of their mind that they're doing something wrong. Something that it's evil, something that it's sinful. For Muslims, no, it is not. When you do this, you know that you're doing something halal and you're getting reward for it even. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that. That even when someone comes and fulfills his desire, he will be rewarded for that. So the Sahaba, they got surprised. Subhanallah ya Rasulullah, أَهَاتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهَوَتَهُ وَيَكُنُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٍ. Someone would go and fulfill his desire and have a good reward for that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what if this person does that in an unlawful manner? In a haram way, zina, adultery. Wouldn't he be punished for that? They said, yes, ya Rasulullah. He said, therefore, if he does it in a lawful way, he will be rewarded for that. So alhamdulillah, having this in mind that pleasure even is not a sinful act if you're doing it, of course, in the lawful manner with your own spouse. Are there advantages and disadvantages for marriage? Yes, there are. Some ulama, they speak about the disadvantage of marriage. Like Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, also he said that, sometimes marriage can lead to, in unwanted probably consequences. For example, incompetence from seeking halal, he says, which means some people, if let's say if they have a large family, maybe they don't really plan it very well, so much, or they have 10, 15, 20 children. And then whatever they had, it's not going to be sufficient for them. So they try their best to do it the right way, and if they cannot, then they start, of course, going different way, different paths. For example, they would, astaghfirullah, might cheat, might go and beg people, and do this. Basically, they want just to survive and help their family. So he says, sometimes, yes. It can be harmful. Also, he says it's probably the inability or disability to maintain the rights of your spouse. For example, the man, if he, let's say, if he's not into marriage seriously, or didn't, for example, like his spouse, but he doesn't want a divorce. He just want to maintain a life like this. So he really, sometimes he abuses his wife's rights. Same thing with the woman. Let's say at certain point, probably a certain time of her life, she just basically, she loses interest in this marriage, and she starts giving up, you know, on her rights, and even also preventing her husband from taking his wife. Also, he says, probably it can be a distraction from worship, from ibadah. If the husband and wife get emotionally attached so much to the extent that it becomes like a distraction from ibadah, from worship. So they spend more time with each other than, you know, praying, probably learning their deen, or giving extra time for qiyamul layl or fasting and so on. Why? Because they want to keep always together and enjoy their time together. So anyway, there are some disadvantages, but of course, we all know that advantage of getting married would outweigh the disadvantages of marriage, because that was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ruling of marriage. Marriage, is it wajib, mustahab, mubah, haram? What exactly the ruling of marriage? We cannot say one ruling. Actually, the ulama, they gave different rulings for marriage for different scenarios and different circumstances. So they say sometimes it's wajib, sometimes becomes mustahab. Wajib means mandatory, obligatory. And they say it's wajib when a person, when the person feels certain that he will commit something forbidden if he does not marry. A person is certain or feels certain that he will commit something unlawful or something haram if this person does not marry. And this person has the financial ability to get married. So the person feels certain about committing something haram if he doesn't get married. He is financially able to get married. Plus, he knows that he will treat his wife properly. This person, you know that he is going to treat his wife or his spouse properly. It means basically he's going to maintain the rights of the spouse properly. I'm not saying perfectly, but properly, you know, meaning in a way that can be acceptable, inshallah ta'ala. In this case, zawaj will become wajib for this individual. This person, he has to get married. Number two, it is haram for a person to get married if this person does not have the financial or physical means to get married, or feel certain that this person will treat his wife or his spouse, he will not treat his wife properly. In this case, becomes haram. Someone who has nothing, he doesn't have a job, and he's not even interested in getting a job. That's the key over here. He's not interested in getting a job, but he just wants, you know, to get married. That's it. You get the pleasure of having a wife. So what about, you know, life? How are you going to manage your life? Allah ghafur rahim and Allah razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. I mean, fine, but Allah is not going to give you while you're just sitting right there, you know, watching soccer in front of the TV or drinking coffee outside and so on. You have to do something about it. So this person is not serious about marriage. And I was asked the question also on the forums when brothers and sisters are asking, okay, what if the parents don't want the person to get married and, you know, because they're still studying and so on? I'd say again, if you show maturity, this should help you. But if you don't really show maturity in your life, I mean, how do you expect your parents to help you with that? Details, different, depends of course on your circumstances, your personal circumstances. Makruh, which means dislike. Marriage can be dislike. It's not recommended for you. If the person has the means to get married, physical and financial means, you're able to get married financially and physically, but feels strongly, this person feels strongly that he will not treat his wife properly. In this case, becomes makruh. Becomes mustahab, means recommended. If a person has the means to marry, this person has the means to marry, means physical and financial means, and has no fear of mistreating his wife or committing unlawful acts, has no fear of committing unlawful acts. Alhamdulillah, he's stable, you know. emotionally, he's stable spiritually, and so on. In this case, marriage becomes mustahab for them. Means recommended. Same ruling also applies to women, by the way. I mean, it's not just we say him finding a wife and so on. Also, it applies for women. It becomes for them sometimes wajib, sometimes becomes mustahab, and so on. Now, this is in general. If you say now, the bottom line we say about marriage, that it's mustahab. It's not even halal. When you say mubah, it's permissible. It's not just permissible, actually, no. It is recommended. That's the bottom line ruling of marriage, but it can go up to wajib sometimes, and it can also be haram and makruh. This is now among the majority of the fuqaha. What about the Zahiri school of thought? Remember the school of thought of Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayh? What do they say about marriage? Remember what we said about their rulings? That they take, especially for those who studied the Qur'an. We know that they're literalists, which means they're taking the meanings from the word itself, or taking the rulings, because they believe language has its you know, enough evidence to give the ruling for the matter discussed. So in this case, what do you expect them to say about marriage? Wajib or fard? Yeah. Because the hadith says, وَأَنْكِحُ فَلَيْتَزَوَّجْ, do this and so on. So it's like a command, an order. So for them, this order means it's wajib. And that's why you won't see any ظاهري who's not married. Okay, what about marriage as an act of worship? Can we consider, we say that marriage can always fall under the contract in Islamic law. But do we consider, can we expect or consider marriage as an act of ibadah, act of worship? Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he does not consider marriage as an act of worship, but he considered it as a contract, as I said. So it's a contract like any other contract. In general, it is of course part of our deen. But to say it's like salah, zakah, siyam, and so on, no, it's a contract, completely a contract. However, the majority they say no, it can be considered as an act of worship for different reasons. Considering that this is now the khilafah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to have on earth, means that human beings will take care of this universe and this land and earth. Plus the command of Rasulullah for the youth to get married, and that's now a command and order, as we said. And if it's not wajib, it should be mustahab at least. And in addition to that, the benefits that people can get from marriage, the way we discuss it and we explain it to you. And final, of course, what makes it clear for us that it's an act of worship is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً, which means that in fulfilling one's desire, there will be it will be considered as a charity. So a charity is an act of worship by itself. And that again, it gives you a broader meaning of charity in Islam. People, they think about charity, when they think about charity, they think about money, just to pay money. But the meaning of charity in Islam is broader than that. Wallahu a'lam. Different categories of marriage will be discussed, inshaAllah ta'ala, later in the class. Bismillah. Any questions? Yes, sister. In the back. Sadaqah? Yes, charity is an act of worship, definitely. Wallahu a'lam. Brothers? Sisters? Yes. Mustahab and wajib. Wajib is an obligatory or mandatory, which is an act that it's a command. In the Arabic language, let me actually say it in the Arabic language first. ما أمر به الشارع أمرا ما أمر به الشارع على وجه الحتم والإلزام, which means it's a command that have been initiated by the شارع, means the legislator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, على وجه الحتم والإلزام. It means mandates and obligates the action itself. But the mustahab, which means recommended, it's a command. مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الشَّارِعُ لَيْسَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْحَتْمِ وَالْإِلْزَامِ. It's a command that was not made an obligation. A command was not made an obligation. And there's another difference for it, is that al-wajib, if you do it, you'll get reward. And if you don't, you'll be held accountable for it. So it's a sin if you don't do it. But al-mustahab, if you do it, you'll get reward. And if you don't, you get nothing. You won't be punished for it, because it's recommended. If you want to do it, you get reward for it. But if you don't do it, you don't get punished for that. Wallahu a'lam. Brothers, yes. Define maturity. How old are you? Now, maturity depends. It really depends. When I say maturity, it's not necessary to be, you know, 50 years old, 30 years old. You know, sometimes we have people here living in the West, probably here, you know, in this area also, probably 50 years old, 60 years old, and they're still acting like teenagers. You know, really, it's silly. You see them in the streets and acting like kids. And some people, mashallah, they're 15 years old, 20 years old, and they act like real mature people. So maturity, it's a mental level. You know, when people reach that level of being responsible, that's the most important thing. It's about responsibility, knowing rights and obligations, and understands things profoundly. It's not just, you know, you have a desire for it and you want to do it. I'm ready for it. It's not that you're ready. I mean, people, how do they look at you from around you? Are you really mature for that or not? Parents will never look at you as a mature person. Forget it. Ask other people from around you. Because your parents will always look at you as a kid. Even if you are 50 years old, they say you're still a kid. You see? So people, they judge you. They see how mature you are when, you know, times of crisis, when it comes to responsibilities and so on. Allahu A'lam. Sister, over there, yes. Physical means physical competence to get married. Let's say, for example, if the person can really fulfill the desire of his spouse, that's the meaning of it. What if a person, for example, is incompetent? And in this case, they will not be allowed, of course, to abuse the right of their spouse. Wallahi. For example, the person is paralyzed completely. If she want to get married just to take care of this person, that's fine. She can do that. Just to be a nurse for him and so on. Wallahi. But basically, we're talking about the conjugal rights. The brothers in this area. Any questions? Okay, we take a break, inshallah, because there are some people waiting outside. We give them a chance, inshallah, ta'ala.